This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
Woohoo! Oh, I get all excited and nervous at this bit because I don't want to get it wrong. Okay.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hello, I'm Charlie. I live in Liverpool and I've been sober for a year and almost 5 months now. I was introduced to the Over the Influence community almost a year ago now. I started listening to their podcast a few months into my journey and it really helped me. Yeah, I think just a sense of community is really strong and really positive and helps people keep going and realise that they're not alone, because life can be more fun and more amazing and just better without drinking. And I think we all remind each other of that. Yeah, I'm just so grateful that I found them, because I don't know what I'd do without them now, to be honest.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to yet another episode of Over the Influence. Really, really excited to reintroduce today's guest to you. Before I do that, I shall just give you a quick reminder as to who on earth we are, if you're just tuning in. My name's Sharon Hartley. I am 47, I think, 47. Started a 90-day challenge 962-ish days ago. It's an absolute joke. Still alcohol free, still doing it, still loving it, and singing about sobriety and all the positives, and a few of the shit bits as well on this superb podcast. I don't do this on my own. I am ably assisted by the very handsome Freddie Bennett, who's, you're going to get this every episode now, he's in the future.
I am indeed in the future. Hello, everybody. My name is Freddie. I am the less glamorous half of Over the Influence. It is a pleasure to be here with you today, Shazza, and I am very, very excited about the second coming of our guest. But if anyone doesn't know me, my name's Freddie. I am getting scarily close to 40 years old now. A couple of years ago, I used to be stressed, depressed, not happy with the way my life was going. But then I took a break from alcohol. 2 years later, alcohol-free, breaking world records, living on the other side of the world and doing all sorts of crazy things. And it is a pleasure to be here with you all today.
Amazing. Thank you, Freddie. Looking amazing as well in New Zealand.
Well, so are you, Shazza.
Well,
so
thanks,
are you.
Thanks. I think I've got a filter on the Zoom, actually, and I think it's put a bit of lippy on me somehow. I don't know how I've done it. Still look a bit shit, though. Still look a bit shit. We've also got Background Ben, who, right way back when, at the start of Over the Influence, was in the background. He was off mic. In fact, I don't even think he had a mic. He was very, very quiet. He also drank beer way back then. Now he doesn't. Ben, just tell us a little bit and come into the foreground.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm an alcohol-free podcast producer. 9 months in now, which is wonderful.
And I've it's never felt brilliant.
No, you know what? Longer than that. I'm not counting my days. I'm nearly 10 months in now.
That
and,
is
and
incredible.
I feel like I'm getting to the point, you know, Shaz. I'm not gonna say it just yet.
Oh.
But I feel like I'm getting to that point where I'm like, I don't even want to drink again.
Oh.
I don't know why. That seems to have changed in the last few weeks. I'm like, my resolve's really strengthened. I'm like, I feel really good.
This is all part
are you
of
saying
your...
never again, Ben?
No,
never
I'm not,
again,
no,
Ben.
I'm,
that
I'm,
rhymes.
I'm not saying it yet. Oh, I love a new nickname. I'm not saying that yet. I'm saying that it's a thought that's entered into my head more than once in the last few weeks, Freddie.
I love it.
By the way, we should probably explain, if you're listening to this for the first time, Freddie's not actually in the future. Well, he is, but he's in New Zealand. Yeah. And I thought, Freddie, it was all going to be glamorous locations, but you look like you're in a doctor's surgery. What are you doing? Where are you? Is everything okay?
I tell you what, this is how much the alcohol-free journey can change your life. So back in the UK, when I was drinking, I came from that corporate world where it was like five-star hotels, champagne receptions, all this bullshitty, glamorous stuff that isn't really glamorous at all. It just gave me an excuse to get drunk all the time. Here I am, over 2 years alcohol-free, in New Zealand, so it is 7:15 in the morning as I'm talking to you, and I think I'm actually on a place called a camp site.
What?
It's not just for...
What?
I thought I was just here because I'm slightly camp, but actually people do something called camping, and I'm, the kids are off in the hills somewhere, and yeah, I'm just here being slightly camp on my own at the moment. Yeah, it's a new experience. I'm glad I've got the alcohol-free confidence right now because, yeah, going for a wee in the middle of the night in the dark is interesting. And there ain't no Nespresso machine around here, that's for sure. But I'm loving it. I'm connecting with the kids. The family's having a great time. And this is all part of the alcohol-free adventure. And as I always say, none of this would be happening if I was still knocking back the Jaeger bombs and the champagne every night. And it's rough. It's dirty. I'm probably the only person in the world who gave up drinking and got poorer and not richer, but I'm loving it. And I'm out here discovering the real me and a couple of sheep and cows at the same time.
Oh my goodness. Well, listen, enough about us. Over the Influence, it's all about you. It's all about your stories, your inspirational stories, your struggles with alcohol, your sober curiosity, whatever it is, it's all about you. Our next guest has been on the podcast before. If you've not listened yet to an episode called The Winner, Series 2, Over the Influence, you need to do that, because if you're just tuning in now, you'll be thinking, well, who's this geezer? Who's this geezer? This geezer is Delroy Taylor, a.k.a. Bunny Pacer, a.k.a. The Winner. Where to start? We've invited Delroy back on to the podcast because his original episode that he did with us exactly 6 months ago prompted such a reaction. Del shared so many things about his childhood, so many things about his personal life, and to this day, he still gets messages about it. I could wang on as per usual. Del, take over. Welcome back. It is amazing to have you back on Over the Influence.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good.
All the better for seeing you.
We're just excited that you're here.
Long time no speak, eh?
Mate, I cannot believe it's been 6 months. Like,
no, it's crazy.
I mean, Shaz said that before we started recording. That's just absolutely flown. And of course, because me and you are at the same kind of stage, aren't we? Well, yeah. Hopefully. Are you still alcohol free?
I'm on it. Yeah, of course. I'm good, on nine months, 14 days.
Amazing.
That'd be an interesting bombshell, wouldn't it? If Della turned around then and been like, no, I'm not alcohol free, actually.
That
would have been taking the podcast in a whole new different direction.
Put in waiting room, remove from Zoom chat.
You do not have the authority on this Zoom call.
Anyway,
Del, I've got to say it as well. I've said it before and I'll say it again, and I'll say it every day if I have to. I am in awe of you, sir, and you are still my superhero. I put the pictures of you that were on my wall, I put them in the shipping crate and shipped them all the way to New Zealand so I could still put them up on the wall again. My Bunny Pacer fandom. And you know, we've had the world's leading alcohol-free experts, we've had superstars, we've had people from all walks of life, but there's only one guest that has been back for a second episode, and that's why I'm so excited, Del, and it has to be you, and I'm so pleased it's you, and I can't wait to start talking to you in more detail and find out about everything that's been going on.
Thank you, Freddie, mate, and thank you guys for having me back on. It's really weird because, like, I don't know why, I'm just a bit nervous, and I never get nervous. But like,
I know, but
it's just like, I've got a bit, I don't know, just got butterflies. But anyway, let's crack on. Come on, let's chat.
Absolutely. So when we last spoke to you, as Ben would say there, it was 6 months ago, and you talked about a very painful past. It would be unfair of me or any of us to say, right, let's revisit that. Let's talk about that again. So if somebody's just tuning in for the first time and they're thinking, what is Del's story? Just go back to series 2, and look up the episode called The Winner and listen carefully to what Del has to say, because it is, it's an incredible story. And, you know, from all of us, Del, we still thank you for choosing Over the Influence to talk so candidly, so openly, so honestly about everything that you have lived through and continue to do so. So thank you for that. I got a message from a friend yesterday, and she doesn't follow you on social media, and she just heard the podcast for the first time, that episode with you. She said, is Del still alcohol free? And people want to know, because when we first spoke to you, you were about 3 months, weren't you? Pretty much just starting out-ish on your journey.
Yeah.
So take us back and just talk us through what it's been like for you since we last spoke.
Yeah, I just want to say a massive thanks anyway for inviting me back on. You know what I think of you three. And yeah, going on the podcast it's changed my life for the better, meaning like now I actually can, I talk to people about what happened without getting, I can't say not upset, because inside I'm still a little bit, I still am upset inside, but I can actually sit here and talk without crying about it. Because when I came on the podcast, straight afterwards, I think for about 2 weeks, literally, I was just like crying every day, because the messages just got to me. And because I've never spoken about it, I didn't know how to take it. And every time I just read one, it was just like puddles of tears. But like, I'm proud. To this day, I'm still proud for what I've done, because I did something that needed to be done. And at the time, I felt that I was ready to do it. And I never looked back. I can only look forward now. But yeah, last time we spoke was 3 months. And as you know, the journey of giving up alcohol fluctuates up and down and up and down. And I've been through every single emotion since the 3 months. And obviously now I'm on 9 months, 14 days, currently 288 days alcohol free. And
yay!
Nice.
You know, and I said to myself before, if I reach 10 months, I know then, hand on my heart, I'll get to 365 days. And that's when I'll start counting down then, once I get to 10 months. But yeah, it's been good.
That's amazing, Del. And I think it's so powerful what you say around that there are highs and lows when you go alcohol free. And it isn't the way that people, dare I say, try to sell it sometimes. And they say, yeah, just stop drinking and every day is going to be wonderful and you're going to spring out of bed and have this amazing sober energy and everything else. There are tough times. Shit does still happen in our lives. Things do still go wrong. You know, relationships change and everything else. And I think the fact that you're showing everyone that you can go through these ups and downs, but still go in the right direction. And like you say, you're almost at 10 months now, and it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm getting to my question, believe it or not, as well. Have you found any sort of different challenges in terms of staying away from alcohol? You know, you had the first 3 months when we spoke to you the first time, and that's kind of like white knuckling it and just getting through it. And now you've gone on the sort of the three to nine months. Have there been any kind of different challenges or different ways that you've approached it?
Yeah, so you suddenly get these waves of emotion, because I look back now and think, how, you know, at 3 months, when I was at 3 months, I was thinking, how can I go to a pub ever again? My friends aren't going to like me. I'm not going to be accepted because I'm weird. But now I look back and think, people who drink alcohol seem a bit weird to me now, because why do I want to make myself poorly? That's how I'm getting through it. And I keep telling myself that every day, because people always say to me, do you think you'll drink again? And as you know, I always say I take one day at a time. But the way I keep telling myself is, over this lockdown, I got man flu, as you do. And I felt ill for 3 days. And that's how I keep telling myself is, do I actually want to have man flu ever again? No, of course I don't. So why am I going to drink? Why am I going to put myself through 6 hours of drinking just to make people laugh, just so I can spend £90 to £100 and then regret it for 3 days with the worst head ever? And I can honestly say, I don't look for alcohol anymore. Sometimes I look for something to get me, I don't know, the stress relief, but it's not in a bottle or in a shot anymore, you know, because I know what it does to me, and it makes me question a lot of things. It makes me doubt myself. It makes me, yeah, the confidence bit, it makes me probably overconfident, you know, because I'm just hiding things. And now I've got used to facing the normal day-to-day things, weekly things, monthly things that normal people go through, rather than go, do you know what? I'm going to have a couple of beers tonight. Well, it turns into 6 or 7, a couple of bottles of wine. And I forgot about that problem. But now I actually have, like I said in one of my videos, I seem to have more problems, but now I can actually face them. That makes sense. And I can go, who's it going to affect? What's it going to do to me? How am I going to feel the next day? Et cetera, et cetera. So I've started to now live better with more problems, but I can make the correct decision rather than the wrong decision. If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I think you're right that it doesn't make the problems go away, but it breeds that inner strength and that quiet confidence that you can overcome them and that you can take on whatever life decides to throw at us. And I think, as you say, over the last 6 months, I know a lot of people have faced a lot of different problems, and they're thinking it's now the time to go back to drinking. But the fact is, if you keep away from alcohol, you have so much more in your arsenal to be able to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. And the thing is, before, if someone said to me, do you want to go to the pub? I'd be like, oh, alcohol free. But it's just the norm to me now. Like the other day, I went for a beer with friends. It's our beer. It's alcohol-free beer. But I don't think about alcohol now in pubs. I don't associate pubs with alcohol. Whereas before, it was just alcohol. Yeah, that in that place there, that building there, alcohol, that building there. And I love it. And I wish I could turn back time like us all, but I can't. And I would have been alcohol-free many years ago. But that's life.
Exactly. I think, you know, there were so many things we could have and should have done. And we think how could life be different if we'd stopped drinking, you know, years before or decades before, but we can't change it now. And that's what I always think. How much more money would I have? How would my life be different? But I'm a big believer in it has to happen at the right time, and it can only happen until we want it to happen. And we have to get ourselves to that stage. And I believe that it's when the time is right, that's when we change. Or we can't do it a minute before, we can't do it a minute after. We have to make it the perfect time, and then it's all about moving forward.
Yeah, of course it is, Freddie.
Just chatting to you now, and I'm sure Ben and Freddie will say the same. You seem so different again since we last spoke. And you know, you were 3 months alcohol-free then. Fast forward another 6 months, you just seem quietly confident, you're calm. Not that you weren't before, but I think there's been a huge shift in you, and you can literally see it and hear it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I have quite a few people now who still contact me or see me at work and say to me, I listen to the podcast, and you can see the awkwardness in people, because you know, it must be hard to ask a woman and say, I listen to your podcast, it's really good, but not your experience, I want to say. And you can see them trying to say it. And I always say to people, it's okay. You know, you can say, you can ask me anything. And I think I've listened to bits of the podcast again in the shower, but only probably a couple of minutes of it. And probably only listened to it about 3 times. So not many, because I can't listen to myself for a start. Mm. But if I listen to that, I can hear in my own voice the anger, the bitterness in there. And now I know that's not me, because I've done on that podcast. Yes, it opened up so much and I felt very vulnerable, but it was the start of my new life. And as I said before, I'm a great believer things happen for a reason, and there's no need for me to get angry anymore about things, because that person isn't here anymore. I've actually spoke about it for the first time in my whole life. And I can't keep looking back. I can't say it's completely gone out of my head, but now I can manage it better than I could before, because I don't need that in my life anymore. Because if I keep thinking like that, it will end up making me not depressed, but that person's won, and I don't want that. So that was in the past. It's still in the back of my head now and then, of course, but you just need to take charge of it, keep smiling, and just, you know what, things will get better.
Guys, I understand why Dell, that episode has had so many streams. It's Dell listening to himself in the shower.
And a naked podcast listening. Superb effort.
Hey, I thought that was just me.
I was about to say, I'm not Freddie.
Dell, something that I'm really interested in, and I know this is a difficult question, because you became alcohol-free. That then gave you the strength to confront some of the really difficult things that happened to you in your past. Yep. You then spoke to us about it and got it out there. Suddenly it wasn't inside you anymore. This story was in the world. You had the feedback from it. And now 6 months later, like Shaz says, you do seem so calm and so chilled out and happy and secure and confident in being alcohol free. This is a difficult question because I know the two are interlinked. But how much of the kind of how good you feel now would you associate with giving up the booze, and how much of it is having told that story and not having that inside anymore?
Yeah, they both go hand in hand. I drank because, you know, like I like rugby. I like getting out with my mates. I drank, but I couldn't moderate. But I had so much going on in my head that drinking, obviously, I forgot about it. And the only way that I could work out in my head what was going on was to try and do something about it. That's when I said, I need to come clean. I don't know who I was trying to come clean to. I honestly don't know, you know, but I was given a chance to go on your podcast and I opened up. And if I was still drinking now, I would still be that person when I gave up, obviously when I came to spoken to you on 3 months. Now everything's a lot clearer because I don't have no hangovers. I don't get beer fear. I'm not angry all the time. And yeah, it's, I can't say it enough to people, and I can't, you know, I'm not going to say everyone it's good for everybody because it's not, but until you've done it, and I can't believe that I'm saying it because that's just not me. I shouldn't be saying this. Is until you do it or you try it, giving up alcohol just keeps paying you back. And I don't want to waste another day of my life thinking about something that's not worth thinking about. So when I wake up on weekends now, go for my long runs in the fields with no one around, I stand there for 20 minutes just looking around thinking there's nothing in this world could ever harm me ever again. And alcohol, I would never think like that. So there's no way that alcohol isn't just no good for me at all.
It's a really great point you make, Del, around it's some of the things you were saying actually reminded me of our episode last week with Joe. And I can certainly relate to it as well, in that a lot of the time that we spent drinking, it was to either numb some pain or to not think about a decision that we know we need to make, or to hide who we really are from ourselves. And
yeah,
it's the easy option to just say, you know what, I'm going to just put that back somewhere in that little tiny dark corner of my brain, and I'm going to just drown it in alcohol so I'm not going to have to think about it again, and I'm going to paint that smile on my face. And I know, yeah, many people have got many different things going on in their lives, but I think that the key thing that you said, it's about time, and it's about why would you waste your time? Why would anyone waste another second of their life just not being true to themselves? And I say that as someone who spent a long, wasted years and years, and I regret that now. But I think there's always that way where we can make that new path and change. And it's just stopping wasting time, I think, is one of the biggest takeaways from it, because we do only get one life. And I think, Del, you're the embodiment of changing and just enjoying everything that life has to offer. And I see your Instagram with your running and everything else, and it's so empowering, the fact that you're literally out there living your best life without making it sound like a cliche. And this is a guy that's not wasting another second.
Yeah, exactly. It's not all a bed of roses, don't get me wrong. And I say this to people all the time, because if anybody says that giving up something is easy, then everybody would do it, as we know. But I think the last lockdown as well, it's changed a lot of people regarding alcohol. No one could go to the pubs, no one could go to restaurants. And in a real world, what I would love is for everybody in the world to be alcohol free, to love one another, to not to go to towns, to beat each other up, get into fights, to et cetera, et cetera. But that's not going to happen. And unfortunately, society is going to go back to normal soon. And, you know, but I don't want to be one of them people hanging out of a kebab shop at 4:30 in the morning, trying to get home, staggered, you know, waking up with chips and ripped shirts. And I don't want that life anymore. And I was saying to someone the other day that I've done all that. I've done that now. And it's about enjoying things, you know, it's like you do with your on your Instagram. It's about enjoying life, seeing things, doing new things. And that's what life's about now. It's about enjoying things and making memories. And yeah, best thing is to give up alcohol.
Absolutely. I wanted to pick up on something you said, Del, about just giving it a go, just trying it. You know, we could have all met in a pub. So forget over the influence, forget being alcohol free. If we'd have all met in the pub and I was maybe the only one not drinking, and I said, Del, remove alcohol, you're going to love it. Ben, seriously, stop drinking, it's brilliant. Freddie, don't do the shots. Honestly, it's going to change your life. And somebody said that to me when I was, and I gone, you're having a giraffe. You're taking the piss. Alcohol is everything. You can't possibly exist and have fun and do all the things you do so. But no, it's not happening. But until you make that step to do it yourself and then to actually try and then to get 7 days alcohol-free under your belt, your first weekend, oh, my God, I've got a month. The longer you go, the better it gets. Not easy. You've just got to go through it is what I'm trying to say. But you've just got to do it in order to reap the benefits. And it sounds so obvious, but it can be so hard as well.
Yeah, you're right. And people contact me saying, how was the first month? How was the second month? How was the third? I say it to them every time. I can't tell you how you're going to feel because we're all different, but don't expect it to be easy because it's not. And there's times when you're going to have to talk to people about stuff that you don't want to talk about, you know, because if you don't talk about it, you're probably going to hit the bottle, hit shots, hit a beer. But it isn't easy, but it is rewarding. And yeah, I still can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's the best thing I've ever done. And all the people that I thought will obviously not talk to me again or just not ask me to go for a beer, everybody's just been like amazing, saying, well done. I can't believe you've done it. You've inspired me to do this, stop drinking wine in the week, etc. And that means more to me than anything. The history part of it is, that's the history. But to hear people say that you've helped me with my confidence, come forward, you know, I've gone for help. I've spoken to X, Y, and Z about this, or, you know, that's why we do what we do. And if I could help one person, that's all I wanted to help. And I know I have, so.
You've helped more than one person. You've helped possibly thousands. And that's not an exaggeration. You know, the amount of people that have heard the episode, and we're talking across the world. I've had messages, Ben's had messages, Freddie's had messages. You're still getting messages every single day, 6 months on. And you're helping people that have dealt with trauma, that have dealt with abuse, domestic violence, addiction, alcohol journey, mental health. Del, it's like, and don't take this the wrong way, you're an ordinary fella. You know, like Freddie said, we've had the experts on, we've had the authors on, and they are absolutely superb, and we love sharing everybody's story. But in your case, you're an ordinary bloke sharing your story, and yet the impact has been extraordinary. I mean, how on earth does that make you feel?
It was over after the podcast. It was just overwhelming, and it still is. But me being me, you know me, Chaz, I can't not reply to anybody. You know, cause I just couldn't do that. And the amount of messages that I had the first couple of months was just unbelievable. And I just want to say a massive thank you to all the people who did take time to message me and share your story, because it's hard enough to hear your own story on a podcast, but just tell a complete stranger about your story, you know, that inspires me. So as long as I wanted just to help one child, one family, one man, you know, just somebody to come forward and say, do you know what, it's okay. What happened was okay, or what we have, or what is happening to us at the moment isn't right, and we need to speak up about it, or we need to go and see the teacher, next door neighbor. And I think over lockdown as well, that hit me more, because going through the motions of giving up alcohol was hard. But then I remember, I think about 102 days I was into it, something like that. So I remember doing the video is when I started to struggle a little bit, because I started to think about all the children at home who were stuck through lockdown, and all the wives and obviously the husbands. And that really got to me, because I didn't know how I wanted to save everybody in the world. I wanted to make sure that everybody was okay, because all I kept hearing was over social media, etc., was, you know, oh gosh, we've got to stay in, the pubs aren't open, all this. But hold on a second, they're luxury things. You know, we've got to look what's going on in houses and stuff and at the homes. And yeah, that was, I remember that was a bit of a struggle for me, because whilst everyone was worrying about things that are material, I was thinking about all the people stuck at homes, obviously going through domestic violence. So yeah, it has been tough. It, It has. It's been up and down, but that's probably one of the hardest parts of it as well.
Shaz from OTI, just taking a quick break from this week's amazing episode. And if you are enjoying today's chat and you love what you hear each week on Over the Influence, it would be absolutely marvellous and very, very kind if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. We've been described as the best AF podcast ever, 5 stars. Another listener says we are just full of joyful stories, 5 stars. Another review says we are loud and proud and hilarious, again, 5 stars. And one of my personal favourites, it's like listening to a conversation with your mates. Oh, look, 5 stars. So if you're loving our work, please do share our pod with anyone that you think might benefit from it, and do leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you kindly. Back to the episode.
Del, I've got to ask you this, and you don't have to answer it, but I've got to ask you it for 2 reasons. The first one, I think, is because our audience who've listened to Del Part 1 will want to know. And okay. Also, as a producer, because you were nervous about coming on before and sharing your story. I can't tell you how nervous we all were releasing that podcast episode, because it was such a personal thing. It was such a massive thing for you to do. We wanted to make sure that we'd got it right, and we wanted you to feel positive and have a great reaction to it. Obviously, you've helped lots of people you don't know. As Shaz has said, you know, thousands of people would have heard, well, they have heard that story, and you've connected with people who before were complete strangers. But one of the reasons you were so nervous is because obviously you said your mum was going to listen. Your mum was very much involved in the situation you talked to us about. But you also said that you were a bit worried because this is some information your kids were hearing for the first time. Forgetting about all the people you've helped, how's it been received closer to home? Like, how's it been with your mom? How's it been with your kids?
Yeah, so my mom, me being me, you know, when the podcast aired, I can remember everything from that night. I can remember exactly. I was walking the streets with my headphones in, thinking, oh no, it's going to come, it's on. My mum was texting me saying, I can't do it. You know what mothers are like, I can't do it. I'm like, just press this button. Anyway, she did.
Well, not because of the emotion, she couldn't technically do it, right?
Yeah, she couldn't do it. Like, I get a message as I'm walking as it started, and then her husband said, she's done it, she's on, she's listening. And then suddenly, I'm just walking for miles, listening to the podcast. And then I'm thinking, getting a bit emotional walking, thinking, oh my God, have I done this? What have I done? Thinking, what have I done? And then suddenly the podcast ends. And then that was it. My phone just went off and off. And I was thinking to myself, oh, it's my kids. It's my daughter on those. So I answered it like, hello. And I remember her saying, I can't believe it. I love you. I really love you. You're so brave. Put the phone down. I started crying straight away. I did. And then, hold on a second. And then my son rang me and he said the same thing. He said, I can't believe it. You had me. Because he texted me on the way actually saying, I'm crying. That was only about 20 minutes into it. He says, I'm crying my eyes out, Dad. And then when it finished, he rang me and he said, you know what? I respect you even more now, Dad. And that just had me. That's all. I was so worried what my kids were going to think of me because, you know, I just thought everything was my fault. And then suddenly I just thought, my mum, I need to speak to my mum because she's going to feel embarrassed. I know she will. So I text my stepdad and said, how's mummy? She said, she's okay. She loves you. She's just a bit upset. And then I think a couple of days we just left it. And then, she just messaged me and said she loved me. And yeah, I don't want to say what she said because that's a bit private, but yeah, it was hard. It was hard, but I had to do it. And I was so bothered that my kids would just hate me. That's what I kept thinking. They're going to hate me for what happened to me as a kid and what I'd done, because, you know, the stuff that I've never told anybody and the stuff that I'm not proud of, you know, regarding the drugs. And I just kept thinking about work as well, thinking, you know, how can someone talk about that who's got a good job, thinking I can't because they're going to get me in the office tomorrow and that's it. But they didn't. It was the complete opposite. You know, my boss said to me, I've listened to your podcast, I respect you, you're very brave. And I just thought, wow, it's not a bad thing. I'm not a bad person, really. So, but yeah, it did get me. And obviously I was crying for about 2 months after that every day, which was hard, but I'm okay now, past that bit now, crying. So yeah, it was good.
I'm really glad to hear that that's been the outcome of it and that it's been received positively, because we were absolutely shitting it. You know, we really wanted to do it, you know, do it justice. And
we were so worried about you. Obviously we want your family and everything, but it was you that we were really, really worried about, and we wanted to make sure that you were okay. And I think I cried for probably 2 months after the podcast as well, with the reactions that you were sharing. It was incredible. You know, we've asked how your family are, Dale, and we've talked about the incredible amount of people that you have helped. How are you now? How are you?
Just in general? I'm okay. You know, since the podcast, I've just learned just to be calm a bit and just take life one day as it comes, you know. And I just want to live a happy life, and I just want everyone to be kind to each other, and but I know that can't always be the way, but giving up alcohol is obviously is a big journey and ups and downs. And I just want to tell people, you know, I've had my ups and downs in the last few months, and some of the stuff that's happened to me it's been really hard. And I honestly can't talk about a couple of things because I just can't, for reasons, but I didn't think that anything could match what had happened to me as a child. And I think it was about 7 months alcohol free, something's happened. And I admit it, you know, I don't think about alcohol, but at the time, for about 4 or 5 weeks, my head was all over the place, because I've been put in a situation that there was no way out. There was no way out. And I honestly couldn't see any light of the tunnel. And but I'm glad I didn't drink. I didn't drink. But what I did, I had to take myself away from social media for a bit, because I just needed this. Something happened that needed my full attention. And people say to me sometimes, you know, you're so calm. And I'm not. There's more to it. And I've never been a religious person. Never, ever. And I put my hands up. Went to a Church of England school, and I was forced with a Bible, and as you do. But a few years ago, I was given the Quran by somebody that I worked with who I didn't know. He just heard me talking about Islam. That was all. And he said to me one day, he came to me and said, Delroy, I'm going to give you this book. I want you to look after this. Make sure it goes above your head. Don't dirty it. Just read it slowly. Never seen this bloke ever again. And I thought, what's this? I took it home. I thought, the Quran. I thought, I know what the Quran is. I didn't touch it for about 7 months. Just before I went alcohol free, started to read a bit of the Quran daily, just a little bit. And I thought, I like this. It seemed to just relax me a little bit. And then I decided to go alcohol free. On the first day of going alcohol free, to this day now, I read that Quran every day. And I'm not ashamed to say it, because some people out there go, oh God, some lad now's had a bad boy life and whatever, he's done this and now he's turning to God. It's not like that. What I've done for myself is taking myself away from alcohol and taking the things in that make me relaxed and calm. So every day I just take 10 minutes and I read a bit. And I know for a fact, if I wasn't reading the Quran and what happened to me and everyone else on 7 months, I would have drank alcohol. I know for a fact I would have done. But every day I just took myself away, sat with myself, just read it for 10 minutes. And that is something personal to me that I do because it works. And it makes me appreciate things that I didn't used to. So if I ever feel now that I'm a bit on edge or I'm going to make the wrong decision, that's what I do. And you know, I'll continue to do that for us. If it makes me relax, then that's what I do. So there's more to things that people think. People just think you give up alcohol and that's it. You get a book or whatever and it's done. It's not. You, whatever we do, whether it's, I don't know, drawing, knitting, whatever, we all find something that helps. And that is one of the big parts of my life at the moment that I don't take for granted. And that's what helps me through staying alcohol free.
I just want to ask you something before we wrap things up. There's somebody listening now. The chances are they're going to go back and listen to the winner episode, which was our first chat with you. If there's somebody listening now that finds themselves in a situation where you were drinking to blot out, you know, a pretty traumatic past, what would you say?
I would say to anybody who's listening, who's obviously gone through that or is going through that now, is if you're sitting there night after night and you know when you get drunk and you start thinking about it and it's starting to affect the way you are, the way you work, people, friends, and you're thinking that people are not going to be the same around you, or you know, you're fearful of what people are going to say when they know that it's happened to you, or what you're doing regarding your social life, you know, the best thing you can do is to try and talk to somebody, at least one person, because that old saying, a problem shared and all that, is true. Because for years, I know I wasted so many years keeping it inside of me because of the big ego thing. You know, I can't talk about this because I'm a man. There's no way that I can talk about this because people are going to laugh at me. But it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I just want people to realize that you don't have to suffer in silence. And it's not your fault. That's the key thing. It's not your fault. Whatever happened to you or you're going through is not your fault. And you have to always remember that.
I want to squeeze you again, Del, but we're on Zoom.
Oh. We'll be able to do that soon, bearing in mind the world is properly opening up and we need to get some of these sober socials on the go.
Do,
Freddie,
at the first Over the Influence event, yes. It's going to happen.
Yeah, we need to get that done soon. It might be a bit of a trek for you to come, Freddie.
It will all be worth it.
We can have you on FaceTime. We'll just kind of prop you up in a seat.
We'll get a cardboard cutout of Freddie in his pants in the corner. I'll sort it.
Yeah, don't worry.
Shaz has got more personality, to be honest.
Shaz has got a few of them, haven't you, Shaz?
Might have.
Del, it's great to see you, mate. It really is great to see you. And it's really lovely to hear that you say talk to someone. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the world's fastest growing alcohol-free podcast. You really took it to the extreme. I'm going to tell my story to thousands of people at once. You know, but I'm so, so glad. First of all, as a responsible podcast producer. But second of all, I feel like we're mates. And we never met each other in real life, but I'm so delighted that what you hoped would happen, or what the kind of reactions that you were hoping for from that episode in series two, is what happened. Like, couldn't be more chuffed for you. And I'm so, so glad. And as you say, life still throws up its problems.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Great to hear that you didn't go back to the booze and actually, you know, you use the, as Sharon would say, your alcohol-free superpowers
to
kind of power you through those difficult times as someone who is alcohol-free.
I love Dale's giggle, by the way. He's got the best giggle. Has anybody else noticed this?
I'm trying to hold it in a little bit.
I love it. Keep giggling, Dale.
I've got to say, though, I can't believe that we're here again. And from when I first contacted and spoke to Shazza, it's just like, you know, just this little scared man a little bit. I want to go alcohol free. And, oh, you know, I said it before, you know, I owe you guys everything. And I just know we're going to be friends for life.
I filled up, I think, only 72 times during that episode. I blame my hormones. I'm a lady of a certain age. there it was. We need to clip that. We need to clip that little squeaky. You sound like a big chubby hamster.
Try not to get all serious, but you know, we get into conversation and it's really it's hard not to go back into that sort of that life again, but hey, we got through it anyway, so keep smiling.
Absolutely, Del, it's been a glorious catch up. Thank you so much. Your social media is a joy to follow. It's inspirational. You're always out legging it around the field somewhere. Where can people find out what you do, Del?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. It's bunny_pacer. Facebook is Delroy Taylor. And yeah, Delroy Taylor on Twitter. I don't really use Twitter, actually. I don't really like it, to be honest. But yeah, come follow me on Instagram for some short shorts.
He wears very short shorts. He's got a good leg as Del. Not that.
I've been admiring you. I'm very jealous of your legs, Del.
She's blushing there.
He wears very short shorts. I've gone red on the Zoom call. I think that's quite enough. Del, it's been a joy.
Hi, this is Ben, and I really hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of Over the Influence. I'd absolutely love to talk to you about what you thought of it. Of course, you can drop me an email anytime at ben@overtheinfluence.co.uk. But even better, why don't you tell me what you thought about it face to face on one of our fabulous OTI community Zoom calls. Every week I host two Zoom calls for our members and they're wonderful. Shaz hosts them as well and we absolutely love meeting you and talking to you about how your alcohol-free journey is going. We give words of encouragement when you need them. As Shaz says, we'll give you a kick up the backside if that's the kind of motivation that you respond to. And of course, we have loads of fun on these calls too, having a laugh with like-minded people who've got to know each other really, really well through the community and genuinely care about how each other are doing. So sign up at overtheinfluence.co.uk now. Of course, by becoming an OTI community member at overtheinfluence.co.uk, you're not just getting loads of stuff to help you with your own sobriety journey, like the Zoom calls, forums, chat, OTI on the go, masterclasses, and all the other things that you get as being part of our fabulous community. You're also supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence, which is to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety from the rooftops. So thank you. That address again, overtheinfluence.co.uk, and really hope to see you soon.